concept. And we understand, in the light of all that, that it's only the awaiters who are successful. So, which signifies our responsibility in the time of Ghaibat, which is the time of turmoil and test. In the hadith from the Prophet, he says, سَيَأْتِي زَمَانٌ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي تَحِلُّ لَهُمُ الْعُزُوبَةِ وَالرُّهْبَانِيَّةِ. A time will arrive on my nation, staying single will be, in other words, will be taken as halal in my ummat, and likewise the ruhbaniyat. Ruhbaniyat, if you know, was the concept promoted by some of the kuffar, which means that if you are a pious person, then you have to be disconnected from the entire society. And you have to be such that you have nothing to do with what is going on around you in any political system, in any society. You have to disconnect yourself from politics and society. And you can just take a corner, go somewhere in a monastery or something where you are totally isolated, do your prayers and supplications and worships and what you think is going to help you connect with Allah, and basically break away from everybody else. This is extremely condemned. La ruhbaniyata fil Islam. In Islam, there is no room for ruhbaniyat, because Islam is a religion which asks us to stay away from dunya, not from the society. There is a fine line between these two things. We have to keep away from getting attached to this dunya by staying within the society. That's the balance and i'tidal which Islam has provided, where some people perceive that if they want to be close to Allah, they have to cut away from this dunya plus the society. So they have nothing to do with the social affairs of the communities around them or the political affairs of the world. So Islam believes that you have to stay away from getting attached to this dunya while living within the society. So when you live within the society, that's where you are able to focus on your duties towards the rest of the people around you. And you aren't living in some corner of a monastery in some mountain or a jungle. What do you have to do? You don't even know what's going on, isn't it right? That's exactly what's taking place by those people who are doing this kind of practice. So Prophet says, سَيَأْتِي زَمَانٌ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. Soon a time will arrive on my nation, تَحِلُّ لَهُمُ الْعُزُوبَةِ وَالرُّهْبَانِيَّةِ. That عُزُوبَةِ means staying single, being single, and ruhbaniyat, as I explained to you, as a concept of Islam, what we mean ruhbaniyat in Islam, that will be considered as halal for my ummah. وَأَن تَلِدَ الْمَرْأَةُ حَيَّةً خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَن تَلِدَ الْوَلَدُ. And Prophet says that if a woman births a snake, is better than if a woman gives birth to a son. That means the children that will be birthed by the mothers, by these types of mothers, will be worse than the humans. Worse than the snakes. Sorry. They will be worse than the snakes. So if she gives birth to a snake, it's better. Snake is less harmful than giving birth to humans like that. And Prophet said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا فَسَدَتْ نِسَاءُكُمْ. How about you if you guys, your women become fasid? وَفَسَقَ شَبَابُكُمْ. And your youth become fasiq. وَلَمْ تَأْمُرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And you guys didn't do the duty, didn't do the amr bil ma'roof. That means bidding the good, advising the people to do everything that Allah considers to be good. وَلَمْ تَنْهَوْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you did not stop the people from the indecent or haram acts. فَقِيلَ لَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ. Is that going to happen? That people are going to forget the duties of Amar bil Maruf and Nahy al Munkar, which are so fundamental in Islam, that everything else of the religion is resting on these two pillar duties. Our youth will end up becoming fasid, and the women may end up becoming, you know, fasida. So Prophet said, Naam, yes. Remember, Prophet's vision is encompassing the whole universe, from everything was created in front of his eyes, keeping tabs on every single thing, nothing misses out of his knowledge. Same Holy Prophet for whom, when he asked the idol worshippers of Mecca, if I inform you that there is an army behind this mountain, in other words, about to attack you, would you believe in that? And they said yes. So the idol worshippers had that sort of trust in the words of the Prophet, without the fact that they didn't used to believe in him, but they have that sort of blind trust in his words, that if he used to say, he can say to the idol worshippers, there's an army ready to attack and charge upon them behind this mountain, they would buy this argument, is accepted. So Prophet said, yes, وَشَرٌّ مِّن ذَلِكَ, and worse than that. That means not only this is going to happen, but worse than this is also going to happen. كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَنَهَيْتُمْ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. How about you if you start advising people to do haram and stopping the people from ma'roof? Instead of we advising the people to do ma'roof, we start advising people to do the munkar. How about that? And instead of we stopping the people from the munkar, we start to advise the people. We need to, you know, advise the people to do the munkar and stop the people from doing the good, the ma'roof. Isn't that bad? That's actually worse. Then some of the ashab present, some of the companions there said, فَقِيلَ لَهُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَيَكُونَ ذَلِكَ. Is that also going to happen? Is that going to happen? And Prophet said, نَعَمْ وَشَرٌّ مِّن ذَلِكَ. Yes, and worse than that. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا. That means you're going to see, you will see the ma'roof, what Allah considers to be good, getting converted into munkar. The munkar getting converted to ma'roof, that means munkar, the indecent things are now taken as decent values and good things, and the good things are no longer taken as good. Instead, if you practice the good things, it's considered to be bad, anti-value. Isn't that right? Ma'roof getting munkar, and munkar getting, that's serious stuff. Ma'roof getting munkar, and munkar getting ma'roof. That's actually the worst thing that could happen. And that's exactly what we witness nowadays, that people who practice hijab, for instance, are ridiculed. Isn't that right? Yeah, I don't know how many of you have been to Italy. If you go to Italy, in almost all those famous centuries-old churches of Roman Catholicism, which is, it's the hometown for that, you, in so many of those churches, you find the paintings of Virgin Mary. I happened to go in northern Italy, where I saw. So basically, you find the paintings of Virgin Mary in 95% plus of the paintings, you find her head is covered. So they know, the centuries old painters of a country which is taken as one of the famous hometowns of the art, isn't that right? But still, deep down in their heart, their centuries old painters knew that Virgin Mary used to do hijab and cover her head, isn't that right? And there was no Muslim asking them to cover their heads, to cover the head of the Virgin Mary. So basically, the values changed upside down. Now we find that those who are religious practicing the decent acts, commands of the Creator are ridiculed, tamaskhur and istihza. Person who performs prayers at the workplace is a subject of istihza and tamaskhur and ridicule. And a person who keeps away from haram food is ridiculed. Isn't that right? A person who follows the Islamic values is ridiculed. So if you just go by the flow, if you forget about what the Creator has said, and you do what you wish to do, and you do what those who have nothing to do, they don't, those who forgot themselves, those who forgot their Creator, those who forgot why they are here, what's the whole creation about. So if you get along with them and go with the flow, that's where, you know, they won't ridicule you, because the values have become anti-values. So if you get along with the kuffar and tahuts and zalimeen and their supporters, that's where you get respected, so-called, quote-unquote, respect. If you take it as a respect, we don't take it as a respect at all, you know, because we take respect what Imam Hussein defines to be respect. Isn't that right? Imam Hussein al-Salam has already clearly said, Hayhat minna dhilla. That was the one of the first statements of Imam Hussein that he delivered right in the darbar of Walid, la'natullah alayh, when he first presented the idea of accepting Yazid and gave Imam Hussein the news of the Muawiyah getting killed. And look at the reply that Imam Hussein al-Islam gives to him, Ayyuhal Amir, Inna Ahlu Baytin Nubuwa. He starts to introduce himself. Before coming to the point, he makes his own introduction. Ayyuhal Amir, Inna Ahlu Baytin Nubuwa. Certainly we are the household of the Prophet, Prophethood. There's much to talk about these great words, but I'm just mentioning in a very simplest word, in explanations, although there's much deeper explanations to these beautiful words. وَإِنَّ أَهْلُ بَيْتِ النَّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدِنُ الرِّسَالَةِ. And we are the mineral of messengership. وَمُخْتَلَفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And we are the place of the landing of the angels. Angels arrive upon us. So there's nowhere else the angels can come. That's the nerve center of arrival of angels. Wherever else they go with their command. مختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي. And we are the place where the revelation is sent down. Revelation is sent down here. وَيَزِيد. Now he comes to that guy. Let's make a comparison first. Before you even present the idea of accepting the doing the bay'at and oath of allegiance towards a tahut, look at the way Imam Hussein presents it. Before those so-called supporters of Imam Hussein doing the chaplosi and buttering up of tahuts today, tamalluq of tawagheet today, qurbatan ilallah, and they claim to be Shias, before we go to the Zionist Shias of today, let's come back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That where Imam Hussein says, "Wa Yazidu Rajulan Sharibul Khamar." Look at the profile of Yazid. He drinks khamar. Mu'linum bil fisq, qatilun nafs al muhtarama. He's a killer of the sacred life. Anybody who doesn't deserve to be killed, if you kill him, you are a killer of a sacred life. Isn't it right? He's a killer of sacred life. Qatilun nafs al muhtarama. Mu'linum bil fisq. Openly performs the haram. So if somebody performs the haram hiddenly within the within your own walls of your house, in Farsi we say chahar diwari khudatun, chahar diwari ikhtiyari. You do what you want to do within your own house. Who cares in Islam? Isn't it right? Islam and Islamic government is not liable to drop down into your privacy of your house and find out what are you doing in your own privacy. That's not the job of any Islamic ruler at all. So, and Islam doesn't bother the people within their own houses what they're doing. That's not the job of the hakim in Islam. But if somebody performs a haram openly in the street, causing the sanctity of the rulings of the Creator go down the drain, encouraging the rest of the people to do the same haram, and basically insults the command of the Creator openly. This has to be checked. So Imam Hussain al-Islam says, Yazid rajulun mu'lanun bil fisq. He openly performs the haram, fisq. And then he says, wa misli la yabay'u mislahu ya'ballahu dhalika lana wa rasuluhu wal mu'minun. This is something, this is what Allah, His Messenger, and the mu'minun, the mu'mins, reject for us. Allah rejects this thing for us to do, that means to accept the tawhid, and His Messenger rejects for us to accept the tawhid, and the believers, all those who believe in Allah, reject to accept the tawhid. وَحُجُورٌ طَابَتْ وَطَّهُرَتْ. And then he says, those of the laps, that means those laps of those mothers in which we have been raised, do not allow us to accept the tawhid. So it's about the taharat that you learned from your mother. It's about the taharat of the soul of your mom that you're never going to accept the tawhid. وَحُجُورٌ طَابَتْ وَطَّهُرَتْ. And those of the laps which are tayyib and tahir, do not allow us to accept the tawhid. So it's about which kind of mother you were raised in her lap. Your actions speak louder. So, and then in another statement where he said, Hayhat minna zilla. That means zillat is away from us. He is not ready to even think of becoming zaleel and disrespected. There is no room in Islam for that. But there are people who think they can get honored by buttering up the zulm, although they actually never get honored. They're used up like a tissue paper and dumped into the dumpster as soon as the job is done. That's the nature of kufr. They have been utilizing the nifaq to bring Ahl-e Saud, one munafiq group. Isn't that right? There have been long-standing behavior bringing and utilizing the corrupt munafiqeen, and behind all this practice is kufr. And some people are focusing on the munafiq, and which is the branches, and not talking about the root of the matter, which is the kufr. Bringing one munafiq, one amil, one puppet, and then replacing with another puppet. And they think they are very smart because they focus on the branches without focusing on the root. فإن Prophet said, يأتي على الناس زمان بطونهم آلهتهم. A time will arrive on the people that their stomachs will be their gods. That's exactly what the people say. If we have to basically take care of our bills, isn't it right? We have to make them both ends meet. I have my family and children, I have to feed them anyway. So what if it's a little bit of haram? So what? Isn't that right? That's how shaitan deceives us to do the ta'wilat, to justify and try to run away with what we are doing. And that's how we start backfiring of our own spirituality. So, butunuhum alihatuhum, their tummies are their gods. That's the haqiqat. Prophet lives a life of reality and he talks nothing but haqq. وَنِسَاؤُهُمْ قِبْلَتُهُمْ, and their women are their direction of actions. Qibla, just like we do our prayers towards the Kaaba, that's the direction and focus of our activity. The woman is the focus of their activity. وَنِسَاؤُهُمْ قِبْلَتُهُمْ وَدَنَانِيرُهُمْ دِينُهُمْ, and their money is their religion. Financial interests drive you, not your akhirat, not the fear of Allah, not the pleasure of God. Financial interests define you and drive you. That's your religion. Dananiruhum deenuhum wa sharafuhum mata'uhum, and their nobility, sharafat, their nobility is because of how much the temporary belongings of this dunya they own, they have. How much of the mata', the stuff of this dunya, how much we have. What kind of car we drive, what kind of house we live in, what kind of, you know, bank account, what kind of stuff we have in our house. Isn't that right? It's all mata'ud dunya. This mata defines their, how much noble they are. So their people define the nobility based on these mata. La yabqa min al-iman illa ismuhu. Nothing would remain from faith, iman, except its name. The name is used. Wa min al-islam illa rasmuhu. Nothing but the tradition of Islam will remain. Traditions will remain. Islamic essence will be missing. In other words, wa min al-Qur'an illa darsuhu. Nothing but its lecture. You open up those Saudi and Emirati and Dubai and their TV, television states, and you find there are so many mullahs sitting there and talking about Quran and giving the lesson of Quran and killing civilians. Isn't that right? Or supporting to kill civilians. Isn't that right? So the Quranic lectures are going on, mashallah. So much. TVs are full. Quran TVs of various puppet sheikhdoms of the Persian Gulf. Qur'an's la wa min al-Qur'an illa rasmuhu illa darsuhu jami' al-akhbar sayati zamanun ala ummati yafirruna min al-ulama kama yafirru al-ghanamu an al-dhi'b. Soon a time will arrive on my nation, they will be running away from the scholars the way the sheep or the goat runs, the way the goat runs away from the wolf. Have you seen those Animal Planet movies, or you know, where they show how the goat is saving, in order to save her life, is running away from the wolf attack on the in the herd of the sheep? You would understand what Prophet is talking about. So people will be running away from scholars. They think they are self-sufficient. There is no need to go to the scholars. Let's keep them away and let's run away from them. Just like the wolf when attacks the goat, the goat runs away from the wolf, isn't it right? Because obviously they know a scholar will talk about the halal and haram of Rasulullah. They have their halal and haram determined by the interests of this dunya, isn't it right? It's 180 degrees opposite behavior. If you allow the scholar to talk about, he will talk about, if an alim who is muttaqi, he will talk about the qala Rasulullah, qala al-imam al-sadiq alayhi wa salatu wa salam wa ala alayhi wa salatu, isn't it right? He's not going to talk about, I say like this, who am I? There's no room for egoistic behaviors. Isn't that right? And some people don't want to listen to Qala Rasulullah in its essence. فَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ Prophet said, when that happens, ابْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ بِسَلَاسَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. Allah is going to put them, subject them to with three things. That means they will be now facing three impacts of this behavior of theirs. يَرْفَعُ الْبَرَكَةَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Barakat will be removed from their money. That's the first one. There's no barakat in their behaviors. A mu'min has to be such that everything of the life should have barakat. Not just money, everything of the life should have barakat because of the iman. So that's the reason why we call the ashabul yameen, those people who are the people of the right hand. That's how people usually translate the word, although my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah didn't use to translate it like this in the tafsir. He said ashabul yameen actually means the yameen is taken from the Arabic word of yum, al-yumn wal-baraka. Yumn means barakat. Ashabul yameen are the ones, it's true that their book of deeds will be delivered into their right hand. That's true. But that's not the real reason why they're called ashabul yameen. The real reason is because everything what they did back then in life of dunya had barakat. So people of paradise who are called ashabul yameen, their whole life is full of yumn and barakat. So barakat is gone from these people. Second of all, sallallahu alayhim sultanan ja'iran. Allah will put upon them or enforce upon them a zalim ruler. That's what they deserve. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi. Isn't that right? Quran has already informed us. So we get whatever ruler we deserve. If you want to know what kind of ruler we deserve, we deserve a ruler like Amirul Mumin alayhi salam with his highest level of adl and justice, or we deserve a tawud to rule over us. Let's look at our own behaviors. That is going to determine what kind of ruler we deserve. Sallallahu alayhim sultanan ja'iran. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is not even ready to think of accepting a tawud. He says, Hayhat minna zillah. Zillah is away from us. It doesn't even touch Imam Hussain and his policies. Nothing of his policies or practice has any taint or any, you know, share of zulm at all, or support of any zalim at all. That's unthinkable for him. And third of all, Prophet said, the third thing that he mentioned, Yakhrujuna min ad-dunya bila iman. These guys will get out of this dunya without iman and faith. Obviously, they are going to go out without iman. That means they will leave dunya without being mu'mins, because they used to live in dunya without being mu'mins. Isn't it right? I already told you the principles of Ahlul Irfan. They say, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ عَلَى وَزْنِ الْحَيَاةِ. Remember I told you in one of my speeches? إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ عَلَى وَزْنِ الْحَيَاةِ فَكَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَثُونَ. Death is always on the wizan of your hayat. The way you used to live, your lifestyle, is going to determine in what condition and hal you are going to die, as a mu'min or a kafir. Look at how you used to live today. Your life determines your condition at the time of death. And your condition at the time of death is the evidence in what condition you will be resurrected on the day of judgment. Because all three are interconnected. You will be rejected as a mu'min or kafir based on the condition of yours at the time of your death. And you will be dying as a mu'min or a kafir based on your condition throughout your life. So that's where it's a very thin line that we are walking on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, straight path. Any slight deviation towards kufr or nifaq is going to land us in the hellfire. Nifaq at the bottom of the hellfire, kufr at the top of the hellfire. Nifaq deserves to be at the bottom because they are insiders. In terms of punishment, munafiq is worse than kafir. In terms of the enmity towards Islam, kafir is worse than munafiq. We must understand that, these equations. In terms of the punishment, munafiq deserves to be at the bottom of the hellfire because he's an insider. Isn't it right? He has more access to learn and behave well, but he did not. In terms of the hatred and enmity and bughd, kafir is worse than the munafiq. So we find Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi rahmatullah alayhi in his tafsir, which is one of the most min ashraf al-tafasir, one of the most noble and most highly regarded tafsirs, a short tafsir in two volumes, but is highly regarded, and because it's written by a person who is highly regarded, Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi, such a great, one of the awliya'ullah, one of the beloved servants of Allah. Everything he wrote is full of wisdom. So our scholars and urafa give great respect to tafsir of Ali ibn Ibrahim. So he narrates in his tafsir from Abdullah ibn Abbas that we were with the Prophet at Hajj. Prophet get hold of the halaqatul Ka'bah. That means there's a halaqah, there's a, you know, something like a circle type of thing hanging at the door, or used to hang at the door of Ka'bah. Now today it's no longer a circle type thing, it's a different thing, they changed the design. Yeah, the Prophet get hold of that halaqa of the door of Kaaba and turned towards us, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, and said, shall I inform you, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words, shall I inform you about the sign of the Day of Judgment? And then, because the closest among all of the companions was Salman al-Farsi, he said to the Prophet, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, among the alamat of Iman, it is that people will waste their prayers. So if we see, if we don't give importance to the prayers, or we don't do it on time while it is doable, without an unnecessary reason, this is condemned behavior towards Salah. And if somebody loses the prayers, this is basically, that's what it takes for a person to be considered as al-kufr al-amali, amaliyan, you know, al-kufr amali. We have al-kufr al-aqaidi, and we have al-kufr al-amali. So one is the kufr related to the belief system and ideology. Some people theoretically become a kafir, and there are some people who are theoretically Muslims but practically a kafir. So practical kafir, somebody whose behaviors match the behaviors of kuffar. The behavior of kafir is exactly what he did, losing his prayers. Isn't it right? So this alamat of the qiyamah, and following our desires. So following our desires, tabaush shahwat, following, and respecting the people out of their money, and selling the religion for the sake of dunya, selling the deen for the sake of dunya. At that time, the heart of a mu'min will melt, just like the salt dissolves in water, Prophet said. So the mu'min is going to be in such a pain at that time, his heart will melt just like the salt dissolves in water. Because he would see the munkarat, the harams, but he's unable to stop it. Salman said, is that going to happen? That was unthinkable for Salman. Such a pious person like Salman would not even imagine this going to happen. Isn't it right? Prophet said, yes, I swear to Allah who has my life in his hand. And Prophet said, O Salman, at that time Munkar will become Ma'ruf, and Ma'ruf will become Munkar, and Amin will become Kha'in, and Kha'in will become Amin. That means Kha'in person will be trusted. Isn't that right? You see people, so many Kha'in people in Islamic Ummah and elsewhere. And liar will be certified. People will rely on the liars, on a liar. And truth-telling person will be basically denied. Takzeeb. Salman again expressed his surprise, and Prophet said, O Salman, in that time the young no longer will respect the old, and the old no longer will have rahm and mercy over the young. Their faces, I mean, the faces of those people in those times will be like humans, but their hearts will be that of shayateen. From the inside it's shaitan, from the outside it's just the body of a human. And then Prophet said, O Salman, the men will consider it sufficient to be with the men, and the woman with the woman. Men will be similar, shabih, of the woman, and the woman will be similar to men. In Islam, it's extremely condemned. It's mal'oon. This behavior is mal'oon behavior. Isn't it right? Imam Ali had said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ. May Allah has his la'nat on those men who make themselves similar to women. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ. May Allah have his la'nat on those women who make themselves similar to men. So this is extremely condemned. We need to maintain our identities the way we are. Islam says, don't even wear the shoes of a woman in your house. I go to some people's houses, they wear the slippers of the woman. The men are wearing women's slippers, isn't that right? That's not even permitted in Islam. not even to the extent of wearing a slipper for a few seconds. And Prophet said, in that time, masjids will be decorated with gold. Zukhruf al-masajid. We call it in our fiqh, our sharia, Zukhruf al-masajid. Zukhruf al-masajid is haram in Islam. It's haram to put gold on the masjid. Masjid should not be decorated with gold. So you can decorate the haram of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you know, Atabat al-Muqaddisa, that's okay in Islam. But we are talking about masajid. It's haram. Zukhruf al-masajid is haram. That means decorating the masjid with gold is not permissible in Islam. Prophet said in that time the masajid will be decorated with gold. Maybe we don't know the real wisdom, but maybe Tamal and one of the wisdoms would that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to focus when we construct a mosque. Allah wants us to make our mosque productive. So we are focusing on the hidayat and guidance coming from the masjid, not over the building of the masjid and its decoration. The masjid can be of a nice building, but not decorated with gold. Gold should better be spent somewhere else, and focusing, when it comes to masjid, we focus on the hidayat. Does this masjid fulfill the guidelines of Islam, who provides the real guidance in the political seerat-e-siyasi of Ahlul Bayt, or we are implementing our own policy while praying and fasting? When it comes to politics, we are implementing our own politics in the presence of Imam Ali's politics towards the Tahut. So you find a lot of veggie masajid around in North America. I call them veggie mullahs and veggie masjids. And then right, vegetarian mullahs and vegetarian masjids, where they don't talk against the tahut in their masjid, putting a ban, contrasting this $8 million center and putting a ban on all those ulama who talk about Yawm al-Quds or Walayatul Faqih, vegetarian masajid and veggie mullahs, inventing their own religion in the presence of the religion of Ahlul Bayt. Reinventing the wheel. They are worshipping dunya and its interests. How much time do we have for the prayers? Is there already? Okay, then we'll end the speech. Inshallah, we can continue later on. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Let's start the azan.